What we got here is we want to leave here encouraged. There's some other things that I felt like I should be talking about this time of the year in the summertime. But this is where I feel like God has pulled us back, you know, to talk about that it's going to be okay. You hear what I just said? It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I'm not just talking about the virus thing. That's a thing. I mean, that's a thing that's going on. And people are certainly dying from that. So whether it's a government conspiracy, whether it's, you know, something that China unleashed on us, whether it's something that just happened, you know, whatever it is, it's hurting people. It's messing up things. But that's just one thing. You know, there's a lot of people in this congregation right now that are really dealing with life-changing stuff, you know, big-time battles. Okay, and I know that stuff really hurts, and I know it's super, super, super painful sometimes. But there's this wonderful thing that God shows us, and sometimes we feel a little silly about it, you know. But last week we kind of talked about bringing forth that sacrifice of praise, you know, and being thankful to God. Now listen up. I mean, this is the real deal right here, okay? Being thankful to God during those difficult times. And we do have something that we can be thankful for always, okay? Our God is a good God, a faithful God, and He doesn't spare us from a lot of trials and a lot of storms. He does allow us to go through those dark, dark valleys sometimes. Sometimes He will lead us right into those painful situations. But even though we don't always understand why, He knows why. And just like any loving father, He is the best loving father, and He knows what He's doing, and He loves you with an undying love. He will never leave you or forsake you. Therefore, there is a special blessing if we praise the Lord. If we can, you know, just let our hearts and our minds go to the goodness of God, magnify the Lord. There's a blessing in that. You're going to go through storms. You know that already. Half of you guys are going through crazy stuff right now. But there's a blessing. There is a joy that's waiting for us. And I'm telling you the truth this morning. If we can give God glory right in the middle of our painful stuff, you know, whether you're worrying about your kids, whether you lost a loved one, whether the doctor just giving you some really, really, really bad news, God is still on the throne. And He's a good God. Amen. Give Him some praise. So real fast, we're going to read this story here. Well, what we got going on here, Paul and Silas, little Silas ain't even in here, is he? Okay, well, Paul and Silas are doing the thing. They're doing the ministry thing. And there's this demon-possessed lady that's following them around. And see, she had some parlor tricks. She had some things where Satan was using her in divination and telling the future for people. Okay, so she was a slave girl, and her owners were getting rich off of this little girl. And this young lady who was demon-possessed took it upon herself to follow Paul and Silas and Paul's entourage as they were doing the ministry thing and just mocking them. And what she was saying was true. You know, she was saying that these guys are here to lead you on the right path, but the way she was just mocking them over and over and over again. And one day, Paul just had enough. He turns around, casts that demon out of her, and guess what happened? When that demon left, there goes the parlor tricks, there goes the divination, there goes the ability to do all these things that were generating money for her owners. So her slave owners were like, they were pretty stinking upset about this. So they grab Paul and Silas, take them to the center of the city, the marketplace area, and a huge flash mob thing erupts, man. Most of these people don't even really know what's going on, but they see these two guys in the middle, this group, and man, they start harassing them, screaming at them, slapping at them. Everything goes crazy. Well, this is a Roman outpost, okay? So the Romans rule over this area. So here comes the magistrate stepping into position. He's like, hey, what's going on here? Slave owners give them some ruckus. Paul and Silas don't even get a chance. Okay, they're Roman. Paul's a Roman citizen. He doesn't even give a chance. He's not even given a chance where he can tell his side of the story. So The magistrates, these Roman guys that, you know, they were like provincial rulers over certain areas, the magistrate always had a guy, this is a true thing, that would follow around him that would carry a bundle of rods, man. So not a rod, but imagine a bundle of rods tied together for smacking somebody, just letting them have it. And that was to signify, hey, I represent Rome. I have authority here. If somebody needs some punishment, I will gladly give it out. And that was the way they kind of kept order in the Roman provinces. Anyways, this thing gets out of hand. Everybody's going crazy. Magistrate says, you know what? All right, fellas, Rome's stepping in here. Strip these guys' clothes off. Get them naked. Let's beat them with these rods. Okay, what were Paul and Silas doing, man? They were just spreading the gospel. They were just doing what they were called to do. You're not always going to be super popular. You're not always going to have a lot of friends because you're doing the right thing. But see, you will have the most important friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. Okay? God is with them. Horrible situation, man. Raise your hands if you think that's a bad day at the office, man. You know, you're just doing, the Lord just used you to deliver a young lady that was demon-possessed. And then this whole thing snowballs. People are smacking you, and here comes Rome with these rods and a bam, bam, butt naked in the streets. Bad day. That's all I got to say, bad day. But God is faithful. Can I get a witness? Acts 16 and 22. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing. Father God, your will be done in this service. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord God. Pierce our hearts. Father God, thank you that we're going to leave here refreshed and encouraged, Lord. And that we're going to change, Lord. We're not going to walk around in discouragement or despair. But we're going to be excited, Lord, because we're your babies, Lord. And you have a plan for us. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. Okay, we already talked about that. Now, on your bulletin, look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. Little tiny picture here, and this is Paul again, little tiny picture of what the Christian life looks like sometimes, man. Okay, now keep in mind, Paul the Apostle went through some hardcore persecution personally, but the early church went through some amazing persecution. I know what you're going through is real, and I know it's painful, okay? I dig it, I understand it, I get it. But just look real fast. This is Paul talking about the early church a little bit, talking about himself. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8. We are afflicted in every way. Can you imagine how scary that would be? Think about it. You know, I'm a grown dude, and I don't get scared of a lot of things, but I imagine that would be a little overwhelming. You know, me and my preacher buddy, we're doing the thing, and, man, kind of having a good day. You know, God just used me in a big way to set this young lady free, and then all of a sudden there's hordes of people trying to get at you. Next thing you know, you're getting your clothes ripped off, and they're beating you publicly. You don't even get to say your side of anything. You know what I mean? Talk about being persecuted from every single direction. Okay, that happens sometimes, man. And James takes it a step further. James, you know, he says, hey, count it all joy. You know, count it all joy when you're going through all kinds of crazy trials and storms. What? All God's people said, what? Yeah, man, that's crazy. But see, when we can focus on this, that God's actually doing something through this trial, and we know that my God is with me and he's going to give me what I need to get through this trial, that there's a reason why I'm going through this, the end result's going to be a great result, then we can have joy. And that the only way that's going to happen is get your eyes off of yourself. You got to get your eyes off of yourself and focus on God and his goodness. And you know what else is really, really cool? Go out and be a blessing to somebody else. Get your eyes off of yourself and be a blessing to somebody else and watch what God does in your life. It's true. I ain't lying to you right now. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4 and 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Think about that. That'd be so scary, man. All these people coming against you, being beat. Hey, but God's holding it back, man. The same God that holds back the ocean and says, okay, I need you to stop right here. The same God that set up the mountains is the same God that's saying, okay, I'm going to let you go through this, okay, but it's going to stop right here. This is as far as it's going. This is what is needed to teach my son the lesson I need him to learn. Amen? We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Perplexed is a fancy word, isn't it? Perplexed. All God's people said perplexed. Perplexed. You ever been perplexed? Like just confused? Like, I don't know what to do, God. God, I honestly don't know what to do in a situation. I want to do the right thing, but I have all these things coming against me. I don't know what to do. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Well, how are we not driven to despair? We got to hold on to God's promises. Seriously, we got to hold on to God's promises and not worry so much about everything being perfect in your little world, because it ain't going to be that way. It's not going to be that way. Okay? There's true joy in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Perplexed but not driven to despair. Persecuted but not forsaken. So if you heard that story when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that, hey man, it's a man, this is where you go. You do this thing, you say a few words, and no more troubles. Man, whoever told you that, they were either maniacs or they didn't know what they were talking about. You know, because the Bible makes it very clear. God makes it very clear. My people are going to go through some really hard times. Persecuted. See, this is the best part. This I look, Dwayne. This is my favorite part. Persecuted. I hate that part. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Think about that, man. Our God is with us. Our God is with us. Struck down, but not destroyed. Hey, even if it ends with you 6 feet under the ground, man, okay? Struck down, but not destroyed. And by the way, none of us are getting out of here alive. I don't mean today. I mean, I'm not... Surprise, surprise! Delicious. No, I'm not talking about that. Lock the doors, James. No, what I'm saying is, man, we're going to be here for a season. We're just pilgrims passing through. It's going to get really, really good. And God wants us to enjoy this life. God wants us to enjoy where we're at now and have peace and joy and encourage one another. But we're so hung up on, man, everything's got to be perfect. It ain't going to be perfect. Not here. You know what I mean? Fullness of joy comes from being in the presence of the Lord, from leaning on Him. He'll give you peace no matter what. Okay, and we're about to see that in a second. Struck down but not destroyed. Hey, you know what? You know, maybe we're persecuted to the point where we have to shed our own blood. Maybe we're persecuted to the point to where we have to lay our lives down, which Jesus tells us over and over again, hey, don't be surprised if that happens. You know, but you're not going to be destroyed. You're not going to be destroyed. It's going to get real good. Give them some praise. Okay. And when they had inflicted many blows, I don't like that. The rods bundled up together, man. Imagine, if you will, a bunch of rods bundled up together and being smacked with them over and over again, butt naked in front of everybody. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Hey, you know what I never really realized or never really thought about? But maybe the fact that the Paul and Silas were ordered into prison and thrown into the center of that jail, maybe that was a blessing in disguise. Maybe that was a blessing. I believe it was a blessing. Think about it. Hey, I would like a little reprieve from people beating me ferociously with these sticks. Put these guys in prison and we'll do more of this tomorrow. We'll have a fake trial. Maybe we'll kill them. Who knows? But yeah, put them in jail and don't let them escape. Now, this was a big deal for the jailer, because guess what? If those prisoners were to escape, he was going to have to pay for that with his own life. Okay? Talk about a crazy job. You know what I mean? And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison. You know what's crazy about the inner prison? It's dark. It's really, really dark, man. No windows, dark, pretty discouraging. Probably smelt pretty bad, you know what I mean? And there's no light unless you bring that light, you know, like a candle or a lamp or a torch or something. But see, we're the light of the world, man. And so when we go, we represent Jesus Christ. We're like a city on a hill, man. We can't be hidden. We're not supposed to be hidden. We're not supposed to hide our light underneath the bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, right? So here you go, man. We are instructed to bring that light wherever we go. Okay? Think about that. Here's Paul and Silas having a pretty tough day, man. You know, hey, Silas, I think my arm's broke. You know, here they go. They go into the inner part of the prison. But they're bringing that light with them. Okay, they're going to change the atmosphere in that dark, depressing, nasty, smelly place. Amen? Okay. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Doesn't that sound miserable? Fastening your feet in stocks. That doesn't sound fun at all. Matter of fact, that makes my back hurt. For some reason, that makes my back hurt just thinking about it. Dwayne, does it make your back hurt? Think about sitting on the... Anyways, moving forward. I want to read Psalm 30 and verse 5, part B. All of Psalm 30, verse 5 is amazing. But I want to focus on this little tiny section right here. And this is for us, guys. Weeping may tarry for the night. Or you may remember it like this. Weeping may endure for the night. Man, you might feel like you're in a situation where it's just dark, man. It's just dark. Don't forget who you belong to. Don't forget that you're a child of the Most High God, okay? And you, there's always, this trial will come to a close, okay? So when I pray to the Lord, and that's what we need to do, when I pray to the Lord, guess what? That situation can change just like that, or God's changing me. Because God wants me to go through that situation. Think about that. That's true. Okay? Anyways, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Is that true? It is totally true. It's totally true. 1 Peter 2:23. This is Jesus Christ right here, okay? I know we've read this recently. It's a goodie, okay? When he was reviled... You ever felt like you've just been reviled by folks, man? People just hate you for no reason. People talk trash about you for no reason. Maybe that happens to you, maybe it don't. Well, it happened to our Lord and Savior, okay? So you were in good company. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. Think about how much strength it had to take, Brother Donnie, to know that you could just set everything straight right now with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Romans. Man, you could release one angel, man, and just set everything right and go sit on the throne if he wanted to do that. But he wanted to be obedient to the Father. He knew what he was to do, okay? So we need to have that same type of attitude that, man, if life gets tough, man, and people treat me unfair and sad things happen to me, you know what? But I've got something big going on, man. I belong to the Lord, and the Lord has a plan for me. Amen. Give him some praise. Go ahead. The weapons we use aren't the natural weapons, man. We don't see when somebody's being a jerk to you, man. Okay, we don't have to give into that nonsense. All right, we don't have to give into that stuff. Okay. Our weapons are different, man. I'm going to entrust myself to the Lord who judges justly. Okay. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Who would have gave Jesus a pass if he was like, you know, being tormented and he was like, well, you guys just wait. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued. This is it right here. This is what we want to do, guys. This is what we want to do this week, okay? Life's, you know, I'm just in this situation, man. It's just heavy stuff right now, okay? But continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He said, God, I'm your child. I'm in your hands. I know this is the best place in the world to be. Even though I don't like what's going on around me, and I don't really want to drink of this cup, but if this is what I got to do, then I want to do what you want me to do, okay? And I'm just going to trust in you because I know you know the big picture and you love me with undying love, and therefore, everything's going to work out. And you can say that, man. The end result's going to be a good result. We got to just keep trusting in God. All right. Okay. Acts 16:25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. That's really, really cool. About three times in my life. That's not really often, but I've wondered, what in the world were they singing? You know, what kind of hymn were they singing? And were they like doing it together? Was one of them a good singer? Was one of them a bad singer? You know? Like, no, no, Silas, it's like this. You know? Oh, no. Okay. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay. Dark, dark time in the inner part of the prison. Okay? They're singing hymns to God. What are they doing? You think their body might hurt a little bit? You think they might be in a little anguish and pain? You think they might have the capability of getting really discouraged and in despair if they wanted to? Man, I was just doing the thing, man. I was just doing the ministry. I was just trying to do something good. And all this happens to us, man. I'm done. Game over, man. I'm out of here. Well, no. Silas, you're not out of here, bro. You're chained up. But see, we can get discouraged if we want to. That's not going to help anything out. We all do it. But we got to come to our senses and realize, man, this isn't helping anything out. Blaming me and everybody else around you, that's not going to help anything out. You know, saying, well, they got it better than me, or this or that, or, man, they always get the good news. They got the big bonus and all that. Man, focus on your relationship with the Most High God, because he's not going to be playing favorites. He's not going to be playing favorites. Okay? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What are they doing? They're getting their eyes off of their self, and they're focusing on God, and they're magnifying God. You know what I mean? God, you're bigger than this mess. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you do, and you love me. And you know what? I got a whole bunch of reasons why I can give you glory, why I can give you praise right here, right now. Even though my body hurts, even though Silas keeps getting his nasty blood all over me. I'm slave. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. What? That's important. That's important because as Christians, man, we got to realize, man, that there are people watching us. That's really, really painful sometimes, ain't it? When you think about it, it is for me. You know, because I don't always handle things like I should. You know? But God just made it very, very clear. When a Christian's going through something, you have an audience, man. People are watching you. Okay, the same people you were on Facebook with the day before, you were saying, God is good, God is great, God is awesome. And then 2 days later, you're like, my life's falling apart, everything's horrible, I'm about to burn this place down to the ground. Man, what kind of witness is that? But we're all capable of doing stuff like that. What I'm trying to say, man, there are people that are watching us, and they're not necessarily Christian folks, but they're looking for something real. You got two main camps that are going to be looking at you. Okay, in the unbeliever section, you got people that really want to see you fall. They really want to see you fall because they don't dig on the Christian thing. Okay, and they want you to be another one of these Christians that made a bunch of claims and then just fall by the wayside so they can feel good about what they're doing. Okay, but then there's also a whole group of people that are really, really hurting, man, and they need something real in their life. And so they're watching, man, is there something to this stuff? You know? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They had an audience. They weren't even focusing on the audience, but the audience was focusing on them. They were focusing on God and his goodness and his glory. You know? All right, give them some praise. Habakkuk 3 and verse 18. The verses before this, go back and read Habakkuk 3. The verses before this talking about how, you know, things get tough. If things get tough, what you going to do? Well, this is what Habakkuk says we need to do. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. If nothing's going right, well, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. You think that gave him a little bit of excitement there in that prison? I'm going through this torment because I belong to the Lord. I'm going through this torment because I represent Jesus Christ. I'm going through this right here because I was obedient to the Lord. I'm going through this because I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ. And when I clock out for that last time, whenever that is, I'm a saved person, man. It's going to be all right. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. My buddy Al, I always think about him. You know, I think about him all the time. But one thing's for sure, he just passed away. He just graduated. And, man, he was counting down the days for a long time, man. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait. And that's so encouraging, man. You know, you see a lot of people going through a lot of things. But he was excited about what was right around that corner. Okay? And, man, that's cool. That's really, really cool. Hey, I can have joy when I don't know what I'm going to eat for dinner. I can have joy when I didn't get the tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd. I can have joy no matter what I'm going through. You see what I'm saying? Because I belong to the Most High God. Now listen. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord no matter what. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. I'm a saved person, man. Okay, and that same God that saved my soul is the same God that is with me right now through this situation, and the same God that can deliver me, snatch me right out of it, if that's a good thing for me. But if he says I need to go through this valley, if I need to go through this, he's going to give me strength. He's going to give me what I need. Therefore, hey, man, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I'm going to have joy because I'm focusing on him. I don't know. God is good. So here's the deal. They just got beat up publicly, naked, okay? Thrown in jail, in the center of the jail, put in stocks. It's dark, it's gloomy. They're praising God. They're praising the Lord. They're worshiping God. They're praying to him. They're being thankful. And see, guess what, man? This whole thing's about to change. Like I said, God can reach down and he can pull you out of that situation. And he does do that. He totally does do that. And he's about to do that with these guys. Okay? But man, they went through so much and God was like, okay, enough. We're about to do something really awesome here. But sometimes, man, God says, this is the cup I got for you. And you got to drink of it. You got to go through this. This is what I need you to do. But this is going to give me glory through it. Okay? And you trust in me. Everything's going to be all right. Amen? And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. You know what can't be shaken? If we have our foundation on the Most High God, it can't be shaken. When everything else is shaken around us, anything you've ever put your hope into, man, it can all be taken away in a minute, okay? Some of us in here know what great loss feels like, man, you know? Everything you can put your trust in other than the Most High God can be taken away in a minute. Like the great theologian Jimi Hendrix said, castles made of sand eventually will fall into the sea. I think that was the lyrics. But that's true, man. And no, Jimi Hendrix wasn't a great theologian. But look, man, that is so true. Put your hope, your trust in anything other than the Lord, and it's going to let you down. It will let you down. Okay? And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. What? Now, I'm obviously, when I think about this, I'm like, you know what? I think I would have just let Paul and Silas go. But everybody got set free. Everybody's chains fell off them. See, that's what I'm talking about. People are watching. People are watching, okay? And we have a message, man, that changes lives, man. This book changes lives, okay? You don't know who's going to be saved and you don't know who's not. Therefore, we need to be about God's business, letting our light shine. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. Have you ever noticed that? Some people think you are dumb with an extra side of dumb, with an extra helping of stupid because you believe in Jesus Christ. Some people don't get it. Okay? For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. And by the way, you don't know who's perishing and who's not. You don't know, because some of the most crazy behavior that you see out of somebody That can be because God is really working on them and that flesh is just riled up fighting against it. You know what I mean? For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, that's Christians, man, to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So sometimes the world will see the cross, or they'll see a preacher, man, or they'll see a Bible and they'll roll their eyes and say, oh my gosh, I wish we could just get past this stupid religion stuff. Religion murders people and all that stuff. And they're probably right about a lot of that stuff. But I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about that cross. And to us, that's a precious thing. That's everything. God is everything to us. That's how it needs to be. That needs to be our foundation, that God is where it all starts. Okay? Because that foundation won't go anywhere. Anything else can fall around you. Okay? Let's move forward. But all these people in prison were set free because of this mess. Everybody was watching Paul and Silas. And they knew there was something different about them. Obviously, there's something different about them. They weren't, you know, kicking and screaming, saying, you'll get yours. They were praising God, man. The way we handle ourselves in hard times, that is a powerful witness. Okay. I want to read 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. It's on your bulletin there. We need to let our light shine. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. And I'm not always good about that. I'm really not. But that's the way I'm heading. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. To the one, we are the aroma that brings death. What? See, man, we're out there letting our light shine. Some people are going to despise you. Some people are going to want to beat you with rods and throw you in the inner part of the prison because they hate what you represent, because you are a reminder. Subliminally, you're reminding them that there's going to be a time of judgment for me. You know, because deep in the recesses of our minds, we know right from wrong. We know. Okay, and we have to suppress the truth that there is a creator, okay, and I need a relationship with him. So when they see us, that's a reminder, hey, my future ain't looking really, really good. All right? Does that make sense? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. I mean, some people just hate you for what you represent. Okay, but they hated Jesus. To the one, we are the aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. Think about that. They walk into this horrible situation. Well, they're dragged in this horrible situation. They trust in God. They praise God. And God uses them to set a bunch of people free. Okay? How are we going to handle the situation that we're in? Amen? Because I see a lot of people, man, and I'm not the exception to the rule, but I see people close to me that go through a really, really hard time, and instead of pulling together and trusting in God and wanting to love on their family, they want to kill everybody in their family and all this stuff. And it's like, so unnecessary, man. That's so unnecessary. Well, what's the problem? Well, we're thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about ourselves instead of, you know, thinking about God. God, you know what you're doing. And see, when we want to please God and we're obedient to God, even when we don't feel like it, then there's peace and there's joy in that stuff. Can I get a witness? Okay, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. To the one, we are the aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Who's equal to such? We are, man. God has called us to some crazy, crazy work, man. You know, God says, okay, you're my baby, and you represent me. I want you to see what your big brother does, how your big brother handles these situations, and you follow that template so I can use you. Okay, this is half of the reason. This is a lot of the reason why you are alive right now. Okay, now you go out there, Sonny boy. You go out there and you let your light shine. Go ahead and turn this world upside down for me. Go ahead and do it. Well, I got to make sure that I get this, this, and this. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just put Jesus first. Put him first, okay, and what you need is going to fall into place, okay? I'm talking about who do I marry, what kind of career, okay? Yeah, plan for that stuff. That's great. That's fine. But if you put God first, because so many people were like, well, I just want God's will, and I don't know about this, I don't know about that. Okay. weigh your decisions out by what the Bible says. If I go this track, if I go down this road, is this going to give God glory? Or is this going to hinder my walk with God? Because God's our shepherd, right? And he loves us with undying love, and he's looking at your heart. And if he sees you walking in that right direction and you veer off a little bit, well, guess what? The shepherd's going to knock you right where he needs you to be. Okay? That won't always feel good, but that's what dads do that love you. That's what shepherds do that love their sheep. Okay? You want to please God? You want to be in his will? Take the good book and weigh out your decisions by that. Okay? Well, you know, Billy, he sure is handsome, and he's a smooth dancer, and I like the way he gets his hair cut. But does he love Jesus? All right, let's start with that. Okay, anyways, moving forward, that you can get that and talk about that later. Okay, so Acts 16 and verse 27. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. What? Yeah, we already talked about that. If these prisoners escaped, he was going to have to pay for that with his own life. So he was like, you know what, it's a done deal, man. I'm not calling the wife. I'm not calling the kids. I'm not going to leave a note. I'm just going to do this before the Romans get a hold of me. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Now look at this letting your light shine business, man. Because I know what I would have done if I would have been beaten really bad and I was stripped naked and an earthquake happened and everything that was holding me down just fell off. You know what I would do? I'd be like, oh, this is a sign from God. Let's go, Silas. Check you later. You know? When the jailer woke, okay, he's about to kill himself. But Paul cried with a loud voice. See, Paul had something else on his mind. More than his comfort, he had something else on his mind. And you think that jailer was a nice fella to Paul and Silas? Very doubtful, right? But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. Paul's here, Silas is here. All these crazy guys are still here, man. It's okay. John 8 and verse 36. See, this is the deal, man. This is what Paul and Silas, this is what they had down. And this is what we got to have down. All right? And if we have this down, we're going to be all right. John 8 and verse 36. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Remember when Jesus comes strolling into Jerusalem and everybody was like, Hosanna, Hosanna, we're about to make this dude the king and we're going to kick the Romans out. And Jesus was like, no, I'm setting up a kingdom in your hearts, man. And see, that's so important that if we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us and we belong to Jesus, whether we have to spend the rest of our lives behind bars, whether if we're treated cruelly by people for no reason, man, we can have peace. We can have joy. All right? We can let our light shine because I've been set free by the Most High God. Jesus Christ paid for me to have peace of mind no matter what I'm going through. So I can handle it, man. But you don't understand. I probably don't. But everybody in here is going through some stuff. And we can handle it. We can get through if we keep our focus on God and realize, hey, man, he's already set me free. So I might have some bars in front of me. But that's all right, man. My heart is free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Or you can do it your own way and spend gazillions and gazillions of dollars that you don't have and try and get every little thing perfect, but you're never going to be free. You're going to have one more of something. All right? Can I get a witness? And the jailer called for lights and rushed in and trembled with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? See, people are watching us, man. People are watching us. And we don't know who's going to be saved and who's not, but we do know this. God has instructed us to go make disciples of all men. And we do know that the Lord says that he wishes none would perish. Okay? And he doesn't give us the privilege of saying, no, that one's not going to make it. I'm going to focus on this one because this is easier. Nope. We got to let our light shine. Just live your life, you know, trying to please God, trying to be obedient to God. It's a powerful witness, what I'm trying to say. This jailer was like, man, these guys could have split, and I'd be a dead man. But they stayed put, and he's going to be saved, and he's going to be a big founding church pillar in this community right here, man. Okay, so God knows what he's doing when you're in the middle of a really, really hard time. God knows what he's doing. God knows why he's allowed you or why he's even placed you in that situation. Okay, it's for his glory. So give him some praise. Jesus. His mercies are new every day, and that's an amazing story, man. I believe it. God does crazy things all the time for us. Man, I cannot believe that. It is a miracle, man. Okay, let's wrap this up. So he says, what do I need to be saved? Man, there's something different about you guys. You know, you guys went through all this, and you're hopeful, and you're optimistic, and you're excited, and you're giving your God glory. Okay, and I was just about to kill myself a minute ago. There's something going on. There's something different about you. Oh, what do I need? I need that. This is what Paul says. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's all I want to say. For the rest of the service, little ones, young ones, older folks, if you haven't done it, you better do it. You better accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, okay? Because we have, Christians, we have this blessed assurance, man, that when the good Lord calls us home, the good Lord calls us home, okay? And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. And I know that I can have peace and joy no matter what I'm going through because my God is with me. He is faithful. He's got that provision for me, okay? And that's something that the unbeliever does not have, okay? So if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, you need to do it, okay? Everything else is temporal. It'll fall apart if you put your trust in it. I assure you of that. And it's not what I say. It's what the Word of God says. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointed presence as we go throughout the week. Let us be encouraged by your Word. Let us be what you've called us to be. Let us be that light to a lost and dying world. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.